We ended last week with Paul heading for Europe. Thank God Paul headed for Europe. He didn't sidetrack and go on. He obeyed the Holy Spirit and Paul went to Europe. And we actually finished at this point here last week. And number 9, in this section, Paul made the momentous decision to go across the Aegean Sea from Troas into Macedonia. And in so doing, he took the gospel into Europe. As a consequence, the gospel has made a tremendous impact upon Western civilized Asia. We thank God for including us in his kingdom. We thank God for his grace and for the richness of all that he's done for us, and started with one person being obedient. You know, it's a simple lesson, but your obedience could load into something, well, just wonderful. You don't know what it is. There's a lovely story about the prison. I told you this morning about that prison story of all them young people. They didn't have anyone coming in, but they did the service that Sunday morning, and 15 people came to know Jesus. Wonderful. When you just step out for God, when you step out, what a revival is going on in that prison right now. What a revival. No, they didn't have all the people coming in. They just did it themselves. And the loveliness of God convicted 15 people. Oh, we need to rejoice. Listen, God is still on his throne. God is still on his throne. And God had a word for Europe. And it started with one man. I don't know, God might have a word for you. That's why you need to listen to God. He might have a word for you which might just in 30, 40 years' time transform, who knows, a continent, a nation, a village. I don't know. 5 young boys in their school got converted, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, these were boys of 8 and 9 year old, and by the end of that period of that term, many had come to know Jesus in their school, including teachers. The Holy Spirit moved upon those boys, and they had a tremendous impact on that school in which they were. Children, you were just children, but let us realize that God uses those who are willing to be used. Hallelujah. God is willing. Look at the man who brought 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Look at the account. He's down in the history books now forever, isn't he? All his schoolmates, they're not mentioned in Scripture, but this little boy is, isn't he? Hallelujah. Millions of people have gone on before. And as long as we're on this earth, that little boy, you don't know his name, but he's remembered, isn't he? For his 5 fishes and his 2 loaves. Simple impact. But when you give something to God, and God uses it mightily for his kingdom. And it's just been blessed to see this man called Saul, who was later named Paul, head into Europe. Well, he does head into Europe. And he goes to Thessalonica. And Paul preached 3 weeks in the local synagogue. I want you to notice Paul was still going to the local synagogue. There hadn't been a change. But tonight we will see a very significant change in Paul's strategy and in Paul's method. But at the moment, he speaks 3 weeks in the local synagogue. And of course, there becomes much derision. Because what's Paul doing? Paul is preaching that, now listen, Jews, the Messiah has come. But you crucified him. But thank God, Jesus, God rose him again from the dead. And it tells you that in the 1 Thessalonians, as we read that book of Acts. And there, the people, some believed, it said, but the Jewish people, as I told you last week, who had a mega problem with the whole of this gospel, and still have today, and some of them decided that they were going to get a hold of Paul. So much so, the Apostle Paul had to flee Thessalonica, and he had to go to a place called Bera. B-E-R-A. You'll find it in the book of Acts. We're starting from Acts 17 onwards tonight. And it was starting here where the Apostle Paul had to run and flee from his life. Let me tell you something. In order for the gospel to be reached in Europe, it wasn't an easy, easy thing to do. And sometimes you see, in order for us to win the kingdom of God, we'll have to pay a price. It's part of the territory. And for Paul, he realized that unless he got out of here, they would kill him. But before he did that, he'd set up a church. And this was to be a magnificent church. If you ever get time to read the first book of Thessalonians and the second book of Thessalonians, you'll find the theme is much the same. It's persecution and the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly what we read about this morning in the church of Cyrene. You see, this church was being persecuted in Thessalonica. And Paul writes to them in the first Thessalonians after fleeing from there. He begins to write a text. He sends out an email to them. And he says, listen, I've had to flee, but how are things? I want to encourage you. There's much persecution going on in your city. They tried to kill me. They're certainly after you. They will not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And it's still like that today. People will not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Well, that's what the Bible tells me. The Bible tells me unless we have been to Jesus and asked Him to cleanse us from sin, and the Bible says we have no relationship with God. That's not me saying it, that's the Bible saying it. Jesus said, I am the way. Let's say it together. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, or except by me, whichever version you want to have. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? That's pretty plain. That if we want to have a relationship with God, if we want to know salvation, if we want to know that our sins were forgiven and we're being cleansed. We had a great time on Thursday night, me, Maisie, Albert, and John, and everything. Just explaining that wonderful verse in Romans 8:1. In fact, we never got through the passage, as we won't get through this tonight. But we never got through, did we, that passage? Because we couldn't get off that first verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And it was wonderful just to explain that once I was imperfect, a sinner, all my sin was here weighing me down, and I came to realize Jesus went to Calvary and Jesus took all my sin, and I'm free, and the weight of all my sin is now on Jesus, and I'm free, and I can wave this arm about totally. Therefore, no condemnation. And it was wonderful. We'd got through, I think, the first two questions. But listen, it's wonderful to know that Jesus is the only way of salvation. And when you've come to trust in His preciousness, when you've come to Calvary and said, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I know that You saved me. Come into my life. What a day of rejoicing. That's why baptism duty was important for you. That is why that certificate is important. Because it's the day you told the world that you no longer lived according to this world. That's why, you know, for some religions, they hate the word baptism. Because baptism signifies death. Baptism says, I'm dead to this old world system. But when I go under the waters, I'm dying to the old way. When I come up out of the waters, I have got a brand new life. It's symbolic of a brand new start. Just as Noah, Peter says, that's the symbolic of Noah. As Noah went into the ark. And then a year later, he came out of the ark. Freedom. Freedom. Oh, brothers and sisters, your baptism is mega important. And I've got a baptism class tomorrow. And we've got a baptism class next week. But I want to tell you the most wonderful thing. I can remember my baptism. Most wonderful. Yeah, baptism is wonderful. I got Avril's on video. No, it wasn't a wide looms I used. It was just an ordinary looms I used. But I got it just in case you're thinking. But listen. I've got it. It's just coming out of the water. It's a brand new way of living. Oh, brothers and sisters. Nothing can compare with your Saviour. He's given you something brand new tonight. Something for you to rejoice. But our salvation came at a price. Many people gave up their lives that you and I might enjoy the freedom we enjoy today. And so, the first book and second book of Thessalonians was written. And then you know, in the second book of Thessalonians, every single chapter ends with the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, because for these people, when you've been under persecution, your only hope is for deliverance. And Paul goes on in the whole of the second book of Thessalonians, ends in every single chapter. Paul encourages them. Jesus is coming. It's the only book that ends with Jesus is coming in every single chapter. Hallelujah. And of course you know the reason why Paul wrote that. And that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Because the people in Thessalonica who had been suffering so much persecution, some of their loved ones had died, and they were worried What happens, Paul, to those who have suffered so much persecution, but they're dead? They won't be when the last trumpet sounds, Paul. What's going to happen? And Paul says, I want you to get this straight from God himself. When the trumpet comes, they will rise first. Then we who are alive shall be taken up, and there shall we be. Can you imagine receiving that letter? Can you? You know what it's like when you get a letter and something disturbs you and you long for the answer. I don't know about you, but on the internet or when you're doing Microsoft Office, they have this help section. But half the time, it takes you longer to find the help section than it does to actually find out the question that you wanted the help for. I don't know about you. And then at the end of it says, did this help you? Yes or no? And you feel like putting your fist through the computer screen. But listen, it's great when you get answers to problems, isn't it? I can imagine the pastor of Thessalonians saying, hey, I've got a letter, brothers, from Apostle Paul. He says, all of you who've lost loved ones, here's some good news. When Jesus comes, they're going first. I bet there was a hallelujah shout that morning. You know what I mean? My granddad is going to be with... Yes, your granddad's right now with Jesus. I want to tell you there's no better hope. Because we discussed this on Thursday night. We discussed death, didn't we? And we went to a long discussion about death. Because death is a fear. Death is a fear. But God says, fear not, for I have overcome. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, he shall yet live. But only if you know Jesus. Only if you know Jesus. And so Paul had to run away. And he had to go to Athens. Now Athens, of course, was one of the wonderful cities of the world. They prided in their intellect. They prided in their marvelous statues. They boasted in their people like Plato and Aristotle. Oh, they had great philosophies. They loved to stand and debate. If you went into Athens in those days and you walked down the street, you could stop anybody in the street and say, have you heard the latest news? And that was it. A debate would come and then people would join in. They were a great debating society. And of course, you know, in the book of Acts, you can read about it in Acts chapter 17, Paul goes up to Mars Hill. And he has that wonderful dialogue, one of the most wonderful dialogues in Scripture. He says to them, listen, I see there's an unknown God here. I've got the answer. I know who this unknown God is. And of course, immediately everybody's in the streets are running up to Mars Hill saying, hey, this guy knows who this statue is. And he goes and tells them it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Oh, friends, listen. You can philosophize all you want. The only answer to life's problems is Jesus. He is the unknown God. He is the known God, for he is the only God. He is the only God. But we have that wonderful message. Read it in Acts 17. It's a tremendous message of the Apostle Paul. Then Paul, he has to leave Athens, and he travels to Corinth. Remember, he's not on the QE2. He hasn't gone by first-class plane. He's gone by ships or walking. You see, we got evangelized in Europe by a man who was prepared to wear out his shoes, to wear out his body, who didn't travel business class, who sometimes was oppressed, sometimes afflicted, sometimes went hungry, sometimes went naked, sometimes was in peril. But he went on. Because what he did exactly what God said this morning service to the church of Cyrene. Be faithful. Be faithful. I recommend you get the CD, but it'll be on the internet this week. There's a lovely message on the church of Cyrene. And so Paul comes and he preaches in this city. And Silas and Timothy join him. And in Acts 18, verse 1 to 5, the synagogue eventually splits and a new church is formed. And after split, Paul stays and teaches in Corinth for a year and a half. For 18 months he stays in the city. And there he begins to write letters. And that's how we get a lot of the epistles. Paul, in that 18 months, sat down and wrote some of the most wonderful epistles. And of course, these letters have been incorporated into our New Testament. Now, I said something very significant happened, and here it is. It's in Acts 18, verse 6. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive to him, he shook out his clothes in protest. He said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I'm going to the Gentiles." This should be underlined in your Bible. This is a major shift on how you and I became evangelized from our grandfathers to our grandfathers to our grandfathers. Because the Apostle Paul said, "I've had enough. You're everywhere I go, you abuse me. You want to kill me. You stone me. You've had me flogged everywhere I go. And I've presented the gospel to you. I've given you the good news to you. And time again, you just reject this good news." There comes a time when you have to say goodbye. You see, I believe there comes a time when God's Holy Spirit stops speaking. I believe there comes a time when God's knocked on your heart, on your heart, and on your heart, and you simply refuse. You simply refuse. And God can say, "I can do no more. I must go on. I must go on." That's hard. But in the meantime, we don't know when that is. So we never give up giving the good news, because we never know when that day is. We never give up. But it was a significant shift in Acts 18, verse 6. And it's so important in your Bibles. And I love to put highlights in the, you see highlights in the Bible. This was, Paul was now saying, "I'm going to go into Europe and I'm going to hit every Gentile that I come across and I'm going to spread the good news about Jesus." Well, he does. Then we head to Acts chapter 19 and he heads to this wonderful place. Sorry, in Acts 18, I'll put the scripture there for you. But of course, I've read it out. In Acts chapter 19, and in the winter of 51 AD, Paul is brought before the judgment seat of Gallio. Then he's released. Paul remains in Corinth until the spring of 52 AD, when he travels to Ephesus with two friends of his, Priscilla and Aquila. In Ephesus, Paul preaches in the synagogue, and after a short time, Paul leaves Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus while he sails to Caesarea. From Caesarea, Paul travels to Jerusalem to visit the church and keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. In autumn 52 AD, Paul returns back to Antioch from where he started to end his second missionary journey. Antioch, we spoke about last week, is the home of evangelism for the Christian church at that time. So Paul naturally goes back. I don't know about you, but once when I was in the Brethren Church, and I'm sure Jackie will remember, once upon a year we used to have a whole weekend where the missionaries used to come and they used to speak to us and tell us of all the good things that were going on, show us. They had them old, can you remember them old slides where you put the slide through the old, can you remember them? Well, they didn't half throw some heat off, didn't they? You know, and it was great. Listen to the old missionaries. And Avril's mom can remember Gladys Aylward. Do everybody remember the movie, Inner the Sixth Happiness? It was a movie they made this in television. Yes, so you've seen Gladys Aylward. Apparently she was a small woman.
Very tiny.
Very tiny. So there you are, love. You're small. China awaits you, my love. I'll not be coming, but if you want to feel the vision, you go ahead. Now listen. And seriously, one woman was told not to go. You go and watch that movie. It was made by the Hollywood. But she gets to the train station with a brown suitcase in her hand. And this train station master says, "No, you can't go to China. How can you get there? You don't know. It's about 6 weeks on the boat. Maybe it's more. How on earth? What are you going to do when you get there? Please don't go." The church was saying, "Don't go." But she said, "I've heard the voice of God. And I'm going." One woman changed history in China. Paul goes to Corinth and then he goes on to Ephesus. What was significant about Ephesus? Well, what was significant about Ephesus? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people had believed in Jesus but had not yet received the baptism. Ephesus was very important. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Miracles. Paul got his handkerchief out and everyone who touched his handkerchief got healed. Unbelievable, isn't it? The power of God. This was a city full of idolatry. This was a city on devil worship. Through and through and through and through. But the people saw there was a power greater than the power of evil. And everywhere Paul went, People were being healed on the streets. The town was being changed. People wanted to touch his handkerchief or pass by him by his shadow just to get healed. But of course, anger broke out. That was the third thing we noticed about Ephesus. Anger broke out because there was a man called Demetrius, and he used to make golden shrines to his gods and the gods that they served. And when he saw Paul doing all these miracles, what was happening is people then went into their house, took all their books out on the occult, and they brought them to the city centre and they made a rubbish dump and they burnt them all. Thousands of pounds worth of devil worship books were burnt up. Such was the power of God in that city. And I remember hearing a message as I was leader of my young people in Reading. And it was called Backtracking. And he played some songs that were backtracked and how evil they were. And I remember I had a dustbin and I said to my young people, we will put all those records that we know are not Christian and are not godly, and we're going to put them in that bin. And I led it by taking out some of my Zeppelin tapes and some of my songs, and I ripped them up and I threw them into that bin. And we all did it as young people, and we threw them into the bin. And listen, we need to be careful what we let our children listen to. I don't care whether it's the in thing or the out thing. I remember watching a video, and I loved it, called Bewitched. And I remember Avril and I, and what we said when we had all the whole series. And Avril and I, we ripped the tapes up and we threw them in the bin. When we knew, out of ignorance, we'd done it, enjoyed them. But when we realised, when we went through a course on freedom, and realised some of the stuff that I'd been watching when I was young, some of the occult stuff that I dealt with in. Listen, it has to be dealt with, brothers and sisters. People were being convicted in Ephesus. And they burnt their stuff. You read it for yourself. And it said, I don't know how much money it now, but it does say how much money it actually says they actually burned. And this guy got really sick. He really got cheesed off. And he decided that he had had enough. And so he raised an uproar in Ephesus. He'd gone to the amphitheatre, the theatre I showed you a picture of, because we did Ephesus last week in the seven churches of Revelations, and I showed you the picture. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total, I didn't realize I had it on the board, the total came to 50,000 drachms. Friends, I don't know what garbage you've got in your house, and I don't mean that's in the dustbin. I don't know what stuff you watch on TV. I don't know whether you think it's a bit of fun or it's harmless. There is no place in the kingdom of God. You are light, not darkness. You must act as those who are in the light. You have a remote control which can do that, and the television goes off. In fact, the only thing I'd recommend you watching is Sky Sports HD. But serious though, seriously, our children do want to watch stuff. But some of our adults want to watch stuff. Oh, it's harmless, it's a bit of fun. Friend, it isn't. Trust me. When God called these people couldn't wait to burn the garbage. Burn the garbage. And a riot broke out. And Paul had to run again. He's Paul on the run again. And because these people couldn't get a hold of Paul, they grabbed a hold of this young man and they dragged him into the theatre and they kicked him and they beat him up until the Roman soldiers came and stopped the riot. Friends, this is what was happening. This is how you got the gospel. This is how the good news came to Europe. I think we're going to leave it there. It's 7:10 and I'd like us to finish off next week very shortly on the third missionary journey, because I'd like us to do with a couple more songs. Because I actually think this is a great time to declare what I've just said about darkness and the evil of some of the stuff we watch, to sing Light of the World. Friends, I've got to keep saying to you, please examine what stuff you're watching and what you're reading. And Jesus loves you and he just wants you to repent. He's not holding it against you. If you come and repent. But don't be afraid to throw it in the bin. it wasn't easy for me. I loved my rock music. But there comes a point when God says, like he did to Julian, you've got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision. And I want to tell you something. Be healthy. Be clean. Much better than being dirty and walking in danger. You are the light of the world. Let's make sure that we continue to be the light of the world.